from PRX.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's already talked a bunch. It's time for Sleep With Me. Winter's here, and it's time to get in bed, even though it's summer, because this is the podcast that puts you to sleep.
Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because it's just there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up, and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taking being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Also want to thank Carl W., who edited this episode, Jonathan Mann, who was on the lullabies, Chris Posterson on the theme music, Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. So thankful for all of you. Also want to thank our moderators. The listeners have their own Facebook group. And I want to thank the moderators over there. Summer and Sarah, Stacey, Lauren, Keith, Julie, and Jennifer. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, stuff on your mind, physical feelings, emotions bubbling up, or, you know, churning, any kind of churning. You know, here's, I don't know if I said this in an opening. It is possible, though. Don't churn any butter in bed. How about that for a rhyme? Butter your bread, don't butter it in bed. There's a t-shirt. And there's a slogan to live by. When you butter your bread, don't do, I guess it's a three-quarter slogan. Not quite there. I'll remember to get back to that. Buttering and churning. Here's a question that the dairy cows ask themselves. How do we sleep when the butter's churning? Hey, that was a cheap midnight oil joke. Anyway, if you're new here, where was I? I was barely. So this is a podcast to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story, as I said, to try to create a safe place where you can be distracted from whatever's keeping you awake. So the safe place is, I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents. Tonight we're going to be talking about Dragonstone. I wanted to say dragon glass, but that would make me into the end of a dragon glass. I'd be on the butt end of a dragon glass, if you know what I'm saying. Khaleesi? Hello, Khaleesi, are you there? Can you hear me? I mean, I could use an interpreter to interpret my gibberish, but she's in love with someone else. Alas, anyway, back to the new listener. So I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to try to use different things. One, to make you feel welcome. I'm glad you're here. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep, because I've been there, tossing, turning, angst-ridden, I would say. Like saying, geez, why can't I just fall asleep? Why has it got to be such a pain in the dragon glass? Also, anybody's asking, regular Game of Thrones listeners, yes, I will do a Stannis interpretation at some point. Maybe for the blue apron mid-roll. So what was I saying? So if you're new here, a couple things. I'll give you the structure of the show. It starts out with about 6 minutes of business. If you're new, it's a sleep podcast. So we got to do that out front. It enables us, the sponsors enable us to keep our archives free. So supporting those go directly towards keeping the archives free. And so we talk about the sponsors, we talk about the patrons who help pay for some of the labor that goes into the show. So we got to do the business up front. That's how we keep the whole podcast free and all the archives free, or the people that listen to that. If you're new here, it's not that important. If you're a regular listener, it is critical. So when you touch your refrigerator tomorrow, please remember to check the show notes or go over to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. But if you're new, you can kind of, thanks for sticking around for the beginning of the business. Then what we do after the business is there's an intro. Usually it's about 12 minutes of me obsessively metaphoring. There's another autobiography I could write. Maybe that would just be a chapter, obsessively metaphoring. I think that will be a chapter on something I'm working on. But of course, when you're obsessing, you're not usually doing it. So I'll usually try to create a metaphor for the podcast and ramble about it. And that's the intro. Some people use it to get ready for bed. more and more people are using it on their commutes or the whole podcast, but the intro is kind of like, it's different every time, but it's familiar. So you know you're in the safe place, that I'm glad you're here. And if you're new, like, then we'll talk about Game of Thrones after. The episodes will be about an hour. So I'm here to keep you company in the deep, dark night, like I said, to take your mind off of stuff, to try to make it, like, to try to add some levity to bedtime, because I know it can get just terribly serious for me. And there's a couple other things if you're new. One, this is weird. It's a podcast you don't need to listen to. You can just barely kind of listen. Even if you like Game of Thrones, it's really going to be, like, this was opening episode, so it was awesome. But, you know, it was more, it was a play set, a check-in type thing. So, but even if you were as riveted as I was the three times I've watched it, and we're going to cue it up a fourth time here on mute, even if, like, I won't be doing it justice. Like, I'll be doing it justice by putting you to sleep. And then you can listen tomorrow if you say, well, I got to hear what Scoots had to say. I mean, I'll tell you what I'll start with the ending. That dress on the Khaleesi, I would like to do a silent round of applause for the embroidery, like the costume. I mean, I know that's a lock for the Emmy every year, I would think. The costumes on Game of Thrones, holy cow, and the other ones. And so we'll be talking about that. We'll even be getting input because I watched the first time with about 10 people, family members and future family members. And so, I like to watch the show wrapped with total silence. But when you're watching with a group of family, you know, they can comment. So I'll add in a few observations I heard in the room here. Oh, so you don't need, but here's the thing, you don't really need to listen to me. That's what I was trying to say, but it took me about 5 minutes. So you just kind of listen, you kick back, and you drift off whenever you feel like it. But you also should feel no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here at least an hour. Starting next week, our Game of Thrones episodes will be over an hour, because they're monstrous in the best way possible. So you're like, I'll be here to keep you company. This is more like a keep you company cast, a friend that's keeping you company that you don't like. There's no social thing where you should feel like, well, I got to entertain this person or at least make them feel heard. No, you make me feel heard by doing whatever whatever you want to do. Ideally, you drift off, but there is a portion of listeners that listen to this maybe for company in the deep, dark night. They're not going to fall asleep. People that are waking up in the middle of the night, or people that are like during the day, they say, geez, I need a little Calgon bath to take me away. And that's like my mouth's full of hot air and bubbles anyway. So I'm kind of like a washing machine in a 1930s comedy when they put too much soap bubbles in there and then it overflows and everything. I was just talking about Laurel. Believe it or not, I was just talking about Laurel and Hardy about 20 minutes ago with somebody. And we had a disagreement because they were a Abbott and Costello person. We didn't really have a disagreement. We agreed to disagree. And they had pretty good reasons, and I had pretty good reasons. What does that have? So that's a mini tangent. It was going to go on a tangent about buttering your bread in bed and churning butter, but I think, I think as a reasonable person, we were going to say that when you get in bed, don't butter your bread. I guess it could be a metaphor, but you really don't, like, you don't need to butter your bread the night before. That could be another one. Is that a truism, or what's that one? Is that a platitude? One day, like, I guess, like, what do you aspire to? Well, one day I'd like to create some platitudes, or whatever the, like, pithy sayings, whatever the most negative version of those two things is. Is it trite, or is trite for something shorter? You can't butter your bread ahead of time. I think it, like the bread butterist. There you go. Who could we get in that? That does sound like a. That does sound a bit like a. But I think we're onto something. You can't churn your butter and bread. You can't churn butter and bread. Mush mouth. I got it. I do have that. You can't churn butter and bread. You can't churn butter in bed. Somebody get Sally off those seashells on the seashore and see if she wants to consult with me about the new tongue twisters. I mean, I do give this shout out every once in a while to everyone at Bridesmaids, the Bridesmaids movie that came out years ago. I read that script before I saw the movie about 10 times, the production script, because it was up for an Oscar, I believe. And it was so funny when Kristen Wiig's character, even in the writing where she said, there's a colonial woman churning butter on the wing of the plane. It crushed me. But then when Kristen Wiig delivered the lines in the movie, it was 10 times funnier. And I mean, I was crying, laughing, just reading that. So anyway, what does all this have to do with sleep? I guess it's meant to be friendly. I'm like a friend coming over that's talking nonsense. That's what it's meant to be. Now, if you're new, if you came here because you love Game of Thrones, holy cow, do I love Game of Thrones. So this isn't some sort of, I love Game of Thrones so much. And I really enjoyed this episode, so I can't wait to talk about it. But, I'm developing here's another great New Yorker article. There was one about short order cooks and how their brains work. This was, again, about 12 years ago when I had a New Yorker subscription. And I had a lot of time I was procrastinating with reading the articles. But I'm developing like a short border cook brain. So like even when I try to like even when stuff comes up in the episode, I'll try to like talk like this, and it'd be like, well, one, did I don't know if Tyrion had any dialogue in this episode. I don't think he did, and I know I saw at the tail end when Weiss and Benioff were talking about it. But I was just thinking, wow, he had no dialogue. Either the Varys. With some terrific acting with both of them, with no dialogue. Everyone in the Khaleesi crew. And that's how I think it would be, the Khaleesi crew. You wouldn't say Khaleesi's crew. The Khaleesi crew. I mean, the Dragon Queen's brood. Yeah, that could be another one. A StarCraft brain. You know, get Kerrigan over here. Well, let's do a mashup. StarCraft meets GOT. Kerrigan vs. Khaleesi, Game of Thrones 2. Well, you're right. It was Cersei would be in charge of the Terrans, I guess. Protoss would probably be, oh boy. I don't know. I guess, like, let's not go on a whole StarCraft Game of Thrones tangent just yet. So if you're new here, I'm glad you came by. This is a silly podcast to take your mind off stuff, keep you company. And ideally put you in a situation where you could be distracted. I almost can guarantee, you know, with all my churning and buttering of bread, I would like to butter you up like a piece of bread. I'll tell you that much. How you doing? And I mean, that's metaphorically. I mean, if you're talking about non-metaphorically, Masande, oh boy, probably not butter, but maybe some cocoa butter. Anyway, I get, holy, my brain is, so if you're new here, I appreciate you coming by. Podcast is different. It's a little bit like different from a Game of Thrones podcast, different from most podcasts, different from anything. I'm a different person. And yes, I did watch a lot of Different World back in the day. You bet your bottom dollar I did, Annie. There could be, I guess those are pretty far apart, Annie and they both were Different Worlds. You're right. It's the same thing. Anyway. Holy cow, should I do a StarCraft Different World Game of Thrones mashup? Maybe. Well, let's talk about it another time because I'm just trying to close this intro. So if you're new, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. Like, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. So, like, give it a few tries. That's what most reviewers say. If you're coming into this skeptical, I don't blame you one bit. Like, what the heck is this? What's this guy even talking? Like, right, but I'm talking about it and being ridiculous in the most friendly way I can. So if it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. If you're not sure, I mean, most people that didn't work for it, they hung up, just like a telephone call back in the day. So if you're still here, give it a few tries. Like, what do you have to lose? It's a free podcast, you know, and I hope it helps you. There was just someone that really rewrote a review recently. And their first review was, like, pretty rough. They called me a muttering cheech and a bunch of things. And they went out of the way. I want to thank them. And they went out of the way revising their review, leaving their old review in there to show the contrast of their experience. So give it a few tries, just like that person. After a couple episodes, they were like, what is this? But then they like learned that it's like, what is this? It's like, I'm like a houseplant or something. I don't know. I don't even know what that, I'm just churning. My brain's full of churned butter, by the way. It was churned. It was over-churned. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. That's what I'm trying to say. I appreciate you coming by. I work very hard. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep, all right? Thanks for listening.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 1, Dragonstone. So good. It's been too long. Really miss Game of Thrones. It's really hard, I guess it's, again, personality half empty personality I have, but I'm like, man, only 7 episodes. How am I going to do it? But it's so glad to be back in the arms of these characters, familiar friends, and maybe a story arc with some characters that I feel like I love that we haven't spent enough time with, but maybe that's because I love them because we haven't spent too much time with them. Now, don't adjust your headphones or anything. I am on the road here, so I'm Sweet Terry Lake, Ontario, here in a cabin. So, as I said in the opening, but just to reiterate, like this will be a little bit shorter. Won't have Tom and Pounce and the various old gods and the new and the thank yous, just because it'll be too disruptive. Those are recorded in studio. But we'll be back with those. So don't you worry next week, because those are ready to go. And if you're new to Game of Thrones or you haven't seen it, you'd have to weigh out the spoilers. But I think the show isn't spoiler free because I'm going to be talking about the episode. But it'll be meandering and slow to get there. So Dragonstone, season 1, episode 7 opens with a cold open, as they say. I call it a teaser. People that know what they're talking about, like my brother and Weiss and Benioff, they call it a cold open. And oh boy, was this one ice cold. So good. What an opening. And for those of you that saw it, I don't know if it evolved, the scene evolved for you as it did for me, but it took me a while to dawn on me what was happening. And even when it dawned on the brighter folks among me, I didn't quite understand what they were saying. Like, it was very disorienting. Like, and that's one of my favorite things about Game of Thrones, is the misdirection and their ability to disorient. But it starts with Walder Frey's fingers on a table. He's listening to the noise of his feast. His eyes move. He pounds his goblin and he stands. He makes a speech. He even laughs at his own joke. And then he snaps when the wine's ready to come out. And I wondered what the candle budget was for this episode. He's in this great hall with all his family, all the Freys. He's like, hey, wonder why your old Uncle Walder's having 2 feasts in one time. It's because you're so great. And he stands up to deliver this. What does this say? Campbell Abel with method, thanks. Candelabras with melting wax. So, yeah, there were some cool candelabras covered in melted layers and layers of melted wax. I don't know if that was from just this party. Like, the party's been going for that long, because they're just about to have the toast. And he says, well, let's bust out the good wine for everybody, not Dornish wine, the good stuff. Arbor Gold, proper wines for proper heroes. I was still like, huh, okay, is this a flat? I don't know when this is taking place. There's something weird here. And everyone stands and they drink, but he doesn't let his daughter, wife, or whatever drink. And then he goes, he starts talking about the Red Wedding in a lot of detail. Like, oh, you're such heroes. Like, being rude and, you know, you gave salt and bread. So you took somebody under your roof, but then you weren't nice to them. You know, you didn't change their sheets every night. You didn't keep sand out of their bed for the Starks. You didn't keep, they had sandy beds. That was great. I loved that. And then you didn't have hot coffee. You only had cold coffee. You are the best at wedding. Holy moly. Remember when that guy, what was that guy's name anyway? He was like the Blackfish's kid. Remember that? We really treated them great. And one guy in the back, like, starts rubbing his throat. And then everybody else starts doing that. And they say, wait a second, this isn't wine. This is, this is water. And now we all have to go pee. And like I said, Jesus, must be like extra water, because or Gatorade or something, or I guess caffeinated water, like total diuretic. So they all have to get up and go to the bathroom. Then there's this huge line for the bathroom. And then we realize, I mean, at that point you realize Arya is in the house, Arya Stark. And there's a thin smile on Walder Frey's face as all the Freys, you know, get ready to go to the bathroom, and then they're waiting in line, and that's the worst. And they don't have the bathroom capacity for all of the Freys, and Arya just pulls off her mask, and she laughs as accidents start to happen, and Walder Frey's daughter wife looks on, and Arya calmly says, when people ask you what happened here, tell them the North remembers. And that tell them winter came for House Frey. Watching this live on closed captioning here for you. And the daughter wife is breathing. And we see the candles. And Arya walks through all the Freys waiting to go to the bathroom. Having, you know, they can't all wait. They can't, some of them can't wait. And she kind of just, like, she does a slow smile. And then we get that signature Arya smile or grin. I guess it was more of an Arya grin. And you say to yourself, holy cow, Game of Thrones is back, buddy. Holy moly. And then the episode opens, and there's a couple differences. One, King's Landing, I think the Sept of Baelor's gone, but I couldn't tell if there was like framing for something new. Then we see Dragonstone coming up, and that's the title of the episode. Then we see the twins, where we just were, Walder Frey's twins, a necessary fortified bridge. Just like fortified cereal, fortified wine, fortified bridge. Then Winterfell, we catch a glimpse of the liver. Then we go, we see the tree, the old gods, and we see the like the astrolab. And we head up north to the wall. And we see the wall, so we say, okay, I guess this is, I've never done this. I say, okay, this is where we're going this episode. I never do that. I just realized maybe next episode I'll remember to say, oh, we're going to go to the wall tonight. Then we shoot all the way over to the other coast, to Old Town. Smazany Seer, no, Starry Maestro, I think, in Prague. And really cool. It has its own astrolab. And in the great library, and then we see the lighthouse, and then we see a cold blue and black plain in the north somewhere, in the cold winter sky, gray winter sky. There's sun just barely poking through that winter sun sky, and then we see that kind of snow smoke fog wind or whatever rolling in that we saw at Hardhome. Slowly working its way towards the camera. And then we see a horseman on the horizon coming towards us through the smoke, fog, wind, smoke, fog. And then we see more horsemen. I don't know if we saw seven horsemen. I think there's only four horsemen in that famous poem or whatever, but there was either five or six or seven. So not four, but again, it was foggy. And I'm watching it now. And this is really a great scene. Like, this was in the room I was in, this was getting oohs and ahs. Because then we see a giant hanging with the northern crew. And then we see another giant Then we see a third giant, and then we have a close-ups of one of the giants. And then, not to be outdone, we see the milky whites of a looker or whatever in the eye of the giant as we get a close-up. And the giant's got a cool look going. Really amazing. Like, I was stunned at... Because the camera kind of booms up, and so we see the three giants. Two are further off, and we know Bran's watching, because then as soon as we see the eye of the giant, we see Bran's eyes, and he's like, he's gotten it down, because he quickly comes back from checking the giants. And I guess this would be a tactical advantage, having Bran at some point. This may become a tactical advantage that he can check out the giants and stuff. Maybe one day control them. I don't know. But then we see Bran and Mira Reed are at the wall. Our buddy Ed, Dolores Ed or whatever, Dolores Ned. And I guess he's got to be an Ed. The listeners always come at like, they say, Scoots, it's Ed. But he's our buddy. He's the leader of the Night's Watch now, I believe. And he comes out, oh wait, all quiet with music. A couple more, holy cow, giants times three. Then Bran at the wall with Mira, Ed and the Watch. They come through the gates. They're like, hey, are you wildlings? And Bran's just laying back there. He blows Ned's mind. He goes, first Mira goes, no, this is Bran Stark, and I'm Mira, whatever that Mira dude's... But then Bran gives, Ed his, bio. He says, you were here, then you were at Hardhome with my brother, then you were up in the Fists of First Men at different points. And here's a shot I just noticed. He says, okay, bring him in. But he stands out and looks north. And there's, two or three different shots, a long shot and then, a close-up of him with a torch looking north past the wall with stress. And then we drop in at Winterfell, and in Winterfell we have we've got a meeting going on, big meeting, I think. And let me look through my notes here. Let me pause the episode while I go through my notes. We have a North meeting. John's at the head table. I'll do the dialogue second. How about that? He's got Sansa on his right side and Onion on his left. Sansa on his left, my right. Sansa's on his left. Onion, they're kind of looking and sharing looks. And we have the young woman from Bear Island. We have Brienne. We got Tormund. Onion Knight really likes listening in, and he really likes both Sansa and Jon's opinions. This also brought up, we'll dig into the facts, where was Hardhome? I'll talk about it in the facts, but I was like, is Hardhome on our side of the wall or the other side of the wall? So that was one thing that seemed important to me to look up. So then we kind of have Sansa, let's see, we'll talk about Tormund, but Sansa and Jon kind of have a disagreement on how to deal with the people that were on Ramsay's side. And as they debate things, I guess we don't need the dialogue. As they debate stuff, there's nice reaction shots of as Sansa kind of stands up to Jon, of Onion and Brienne. Brienne's almost eyes are closed, listening. Littlefinger's listening to her, kind of, she's just trying to help. And I guess she's tougher than Jon, I guess, as we'll see, because there's a second discussion about it. But, Littlefinger likes any discord, because then he knows he can sow that. Let's look up this dialogue, because I have a little dialogue note. But at some point, they say, who's going to watch the wall? And then he says, what about, the wildlings? We can't just ask you free folk. And Tormund says, he stands up and he says, yeah, we'll watch the wall. And then there's a whole idea of... we need everybody, men and women, boys and girls, fighting against, fighting for our freedom. And, let's take this patriarchy. Let's not end up like that Earth. Let's kick this patriarchy to the curb right now. And it's not an easy discussion for people to have, especially once you break over 25 or 30. It can get some gruff people. But with John and the young woman from Bear Island, whose name at some point I'll remember, you know, they really, like, she's like, no, we're all in this together, and you don't have the right to tell me I can't, you know, defend my people. So, yeah, then they talk about, she's like, okay, Lasthearth and Carhold are the next two castles. So that's when the debate happens. Like, what are we going to do with the people that were with Ramsay? Sansa says, give them to the people that were on your side. And John says, no, that's not my style. I'm Mr. Forgiveness. Like, didn't you see how well that went for me at Castle Black? He never said that. I thought he was going to say it, but he doesn't. And everybody's taking this in. And this just does seem like an evolving situation as the episode goes on between who's going to lead and who's going to have their say. And, it, you know, in the past, we'll get to it. And we also get a little shot of Podrick in the house as Sansa and Jon say, you know, Jon says, no, let's forgive them. And then they kind of cap it off with he calls the two heads of the household together. And it's a little boy and then a tween young woman or girl, whatever you say. Ned and Alice, I guess, and he has them swear allegiance to him. We get another shot of Littlefinger. John saying, when I was commander of the Night's Watch, you know, I had to make tough decisions when people wouldn't follow orders. I guess John's a little too stoic here, but he gets called out, so I don't need to fixate on it too much. But they come and they swear their loyalty to John, the two kids. And then we get a shot of Winterfell. That was a big hit with the crowd because there's all these camps outside of Winterfell, like all the soldiers are encamped there. And then we have a discussion with Sansa and John on the second level. And my favorite part was like halfway through the discussion, Sansa grabs John's arm because he's sulking because she's still standing up to him. She's like, listen, man, like you got to get over your oversensitivity, because this isn't about, I guess I can maybe paraphrase it. I'm ahead of the episode right now. But she says, you got to get over your oversensitivity here. And like a lot of these other guys, she's like, maybe at least just take some advice because, you know, Dad and what was the other dude's name? Richard. No, I forget his name. I think that was the actor's name. The other Stark, whose name I forgot, they were like too stoic. Like they didn't get like the Game of Thrones. Like, have you heard Cersei say Game of Thrones? And then at some point, a maester rolls up. The new maester. I'm not sure exactly how trustworthy he looks because he doesn't look super trustworthy. So the maester, he gives a scroll and it says, oh, wow, I'm looking at that shot again. There's even the old woods or whatever with the tree with the red branches and stuff. Really cool. But Sansa and John are walking the ramparts, and she's saying, geez, don't we, like, Joffrey wouldn't let it. Like, she's like, you got to find some balance between Joffrey and Dad and my other brother. But she does say Joffrey wouldn't listen. But she's not, like, all harsh. She's like, you're good at ruling. I mean, she's almost begging without begging, being like, just let me help you because I have a viewpoint that's valuable. And I have a lot of experience despite being whatever, like your little sister who's probably like only 19 or 18. Like I've lived a full life now and I've been exposed to a lot of stuff, including Cersei and Joffrey. So I've seen their leadership style too. And she says, you know, you can't protect everybody and the world's not super pretty. Like, there's other things. Oh, because he says, oh, quit undermining me. That's when she grabs his arm and turns him around and really gives it to him in a loving way. She goes, oh, Rob is the other dude's name. Like, she says, I'm not undermining you. I'm helping you. She goes, you need to be smarter than everybody. It's a Game of Thrones, dude. Like, you know, don't you remember season? Oh, you weren't there. Weren't you there when season one, when Cersei said it? And that's when we get the word that Cersei says, hey, come down and, you know, bow down and show your fealty to me. I'm Queen Cersei in his house. And she says, geez, we can deal with the north or south. And they're kind of debating, well, Cersei will never come north. And Sansa says, you don't know Cersei then. Because she plays the Game of Thrones to the extreme. She's not going to let anybody slide. And John's like, well, I don't think we can. He goes, we got bigger problems. We got these giants in the north here. And then we see this cool rising boom shot because they're walking and talking all the time. So we see this cool shot of the north and them on the ramparts and the distance in the cold plains, like kind of like, oh, no one ranges north for battle. It doesn't work out. And Sansa says, well, I don't know. Don't make assumptions. Like, you'll make worse than an ass out of you and me. It'll be it. You'll be like Robin Dad. And she's just kind of making her case. And I think John's considering it, at least. But I guess it's a tough position to be in. When we can see the pieces coming together. But if we know anything about Game of Thrones, that's what I keep telling myself. It's like, well, we don't know what's going to happen because it's like after this episode, it seems like everything's laid out in a sensible way. We just don't know how the parts are going to come together. But I can guarantee by the end of the season, it's going to come together in a much different way. That's why the show is so rewarding to watch as a viewer. And the masterful way they do that. Like, okay, like by the end of this episode, it's pretty common sense. Like, we don't exactly know what Cersei's next move is going to be. But the most sensible thing for Jon and the Khaleesi, it would be, you know, like everybody else would be like, okay, well, that would make total sense. And, but who knows what's going to happen? That's what I love. And then let's see. So we get a nice views of the North South snows. And I've learned a great deal, she says, from Cersei. Because he says, it sounds like you almost admire her. And then we get a few bars of the Reigns of Castamere. Cersei's shoes or heels go across a giant map, and there's a man painting with a paintbrush. And we're in this nice courtyard with a courtyard-sized map of Westeros. Beautiful, beautiful map. Holy cartography. I just cartographed myself. Very nice vines on the roof. Autumn vines, so maybe even winter's coming to King's Landing. And Jaime rolls up, and he gives the painter a look like, hey, get lost, sucker. And he does. Everyone's wearing black leather. But this season in Game of Thrones, black leather's in. Get a hold of Wilson Leather if they're still at the malls. And get over there. But Cersei stands in the center of the map, and Jaime stands at the side. And there's a lot of, like, she's like, this is it, buddy. This is our chance. And she goes, why have you been so quiet? Are you mad? He goes, no, I'm not angry. She goes, are you frightened of me or afraid? And he turns his head and he looks off to the side. He says, should I be? And she just goes off about Tyrion and, Sansa, everybody's like against them. And Jaime looks a little bit ragged. I mean, for him, I mean, geez, he's like his hair's just, I guess it's a barely mussed, I don't know if that was intentional, like a little bit less perfect than normal. And Cersei starts to work the map because she says, we got all these enemies. But she goes, where's the Dragon Queen going to land? And Jaime says, Dragonstone. Where else? Deep water ports. That's it's unoccupied, and that's where she was born. This is when Cersei says, enemies to the south, enemies to the east, enemies to the north, and enemies to the west. Olana. I mean, Highgarden, Olana's got to be super PO'd. So it'll be interesting to see what Cersei's move is, because she knows she's got something up her sleeve. So she walks the map. She goes, well, if you're in charge, what are you going to do? He goes, well, winter's here. We're not going north. Also, I noticed in the background, there's a ladder that maybe the painter was using, and it looks like one of the ladders you would buy on an infomercial. It's wooden instead of being metal, but it's like a folding ladder. But Jamie's saying, geez, we look like we're on the losing side. She goes, I'm the queen of the seven kingdoms. He goes, oh, three kingdoms, actually. He goes, we're in trouble, sweetie sis. And she goes, this could be our dynasty, 1,000 years. And he goes, a dynasty for who? 1,000 years? He goes, we don't have any progeny. We're the last of us. And then she says, a dynasty for us then. Jamie almost hiccups. Holy cow. So let me stop it. That's a 23:45-ish. Really worth a rewatch of this reaction. When she says, a dynasty for us, he almost hiccups in shock. Because it's so out of tone with the reality. And then he does come back. A dynasty for us then. Wow, well, great acting. Wow, really great acting. And he goes, what about Tom? And, you know, what about all this? She turns away, walks towards his wine. He comes after her. And she uses whatever, I don't know what the therapists call this, but, you know, blaming, you know, she says, well, you know, he's against me. Everybody, you know, people shouldn't have messed with me. She goes, we're alive. We're the Lannisters. We're the ones that count, Jamie. And she's losing him. I mean, he really is torn. I don't know where's. I can't wait to see Bronn. But he goes, we need allies. Where are our allies now? Yeah, Jamie shock. Let me see my notes. They check in with Walder Frey. Nice fall vines on the roof tiles, as I said. And then he says, they say, what about these things? She goes, do you think I listened to Father for 40 years and learned nothing? And then the drums start, and then we hear seagulls. And then we see the Reaver ships with the squid, Cobra Command. They almost have a Cobra Commander thing on the squids. Very, very Cobra Commander-like. These warships are going into port. They're churning through the water. I mean, somebody get Captain Nemo on the phone, because holy moly, very cool. I mean, oh my gosh, some of these shots, because they're going into the port of King's Landing. So we see the Red Keep, and it's like, and Jamie says, the Greyjoys, and they're overlooking the bay with our buddy, the blue-faced man. And Cersei says, we need stronger allies. How do you get better than this? And Jamie goes, they're buffoons. They break promises, they do what they wish, and Cersei says everyone does what they wish when it suits them, and they have ships, and they're good at that. And Jaime goes, no, no, they're bitter, angry little people, and they're just the little thieves. And he goes, what are they doing here? And she goes, well, Euron Greyjoy's here for a queen. And Jaime has another shocked look, and Cersei walks off, or Cersei walks off, and then we are in the throne room, and Euron Greyjoy's there, and this guy's a rapscallion, and someone in the room, my brother Ken, said, this guy's dressed just like a rock star, which he is. He even has like a rock star posture going, like with one shoulder down, and just like he's totally at ease, like it's like he's in a hot tub when he's just in his natural state, but he really is dressed like a rock star. He looks, I mean, the dude looks like smoother than smooth. And also, oh, wait, let me pause it here, because there's no more gold cloaks. There's just Lannister soldiers now. They must have been disbanded or something. Cersei's on the throne. No more gold cloaks. Dude looks like a rock star. Total rapscallion, putting on a show. Even tries to step up to Cersei. He's like, hey, what up? Like, I'm the total man with the ships in his house. And he's like, I'm a king, you're a queen. And he goes to step up, or rightful monarch, she says. And then the blue-faced man steps towards him. So does Jaime. And Cersei just looks out of the corner of my eye. And Jaime goes, you're not a monarch, are you? And he gives Jaime this, like, oh, God, the look he gives them. This guy's a trickster. And Jamie goes, you're like a kind of dirtbag, aren't you? Sneaky and backhanded. The guy's just giggling almost as Jamie talks. And he goes, yeah, I remember. Yeah, you guys totally rocked us back when it was the Lannisters versus the Greyjoys. You were totally like a ballet artist of swords and stuff. He goes, I totally took off. It was great for me. You totally, all the relatives I didn't like, you dealt with greatly. He goes, I didn't believe you were that cool, but I thought I had good hair, but you have great hair. He goes, the rest of us, he goes, I'm pretty smooth, though, dude. He goes, you're a bit stuffy. And he goes, I have like, you know, he goes, I got that Russell Brand thing going. He goes, you're more like that dude that plays Captain America. And he goes, dude, I'm smoother than smooth. Seriously, check it. Check it and see. I got a fever of like 101.3. 14 C's, I got them all. And Cersei goes, well, you're definitely not the most humble dude. He goes, you're not humble. And she turns her, she tilts her head the opposite way when he says that. He goes, you don't care about it. He goes, who cares about the Iron Islands? I'm just here to help you and get what I want, and you can get what you want. She goes, well, I want your fleet. He goes, we got the greatest armada you've ever seen, baby. You can run the seas. And there she starts breathing through her nose. She almost barely smiles. He goes, you can rock them all with our fleets. And she goes, what do you want in return? He goes, I want to marry the most beautiful woman in the world. That's what I want. And she goes, declined. He goes, of course. He goes, why? She goes, because you're not loyal. So he goes, with two good hands, and he reaches his, he has like this overbite look, and he spreads his arms, looks at Jaime, grins, laughs. That's when she's like, declined, not trustworthy. And then he like does a Picard where he kind of adjusts his jacket, and he goes, I'll prove it to you. He goes, I don't expect you to trust me. I'll get out there. And when he says that, Cersei moves her hand. Let me see, like a rightful monarch, two good hands, declined. Oh, on proof, he says, on proof, her hand moves with interest. And then he walks off, and then she's rubbing her hands. And the door's open, and he's out of the throne room. Then we see the light coming in the library, going through this mirror and magnification system to light the whole library in Old Town. The great library. And then we get a montage, a really funny extended montage of Sam working, and his job is like putting books away, feeding the tenured maesters, working the bedpan circuit. He definitely works the bedpan circuit with the other maesters to be. In feeding them soup and dealing with it. So it's an extended funny one that just kind of shows the drudgery of being a maester in training. And it's just a fun sequence. And we see a lot of maesters. And we kind of see that they have an extended, they get the library. They also have two different facilities for people that aren't feeling good. They all eat together. We also see the restricted library, which is behind bars, and Sam says we could tell he wants to, go check that out. And it's almost calling to Sam. And at some point, he sees a dude go in and unlock the gates and go in there and lock himself in to study. Then he's off with the Archmaester, who I guess is that was a Harry Potter cookie. But he's weighing stuff for the Archmaester with brass. They use metric system. So, by the way, USA, hello. Even in Westeros, they use the metric system. And let's see, meters for sure. Well, actually, I think they were measuring in grams or let's see. Sam helps out. He lays out his case. He says, "Dude, I've seen all this stuff." Don't you think I should check out these books in the restricted library? Because I saw those. I've been in the North. I've seen all the North things. Don't you believe me? And shouldn't I read up on those? And the guy, the Archmaester, is cleaning his hands and his gloves and listening. He's kind of summary. He's do you believe me? And they go back and forth. And he's kind of like a deducer or whatever. He's like, well, there's no reason for you to lie. And I do believe all this is true because of the different accounts or have similarities. They couldn't be accounted for. So, yeah, I believe you're telling the truth. I believe that there's trouble at the wall above the wall. But he goes, the walls stood for thousands of years and it'll be fine. And that's one way to look at it. That's some cognitive dissonance by an intellectual. I guess it would be like, I think like that's what we see in our world right now. It's like, well, this is my position and it's sensible and the wall, it's going to be fine. The wall's there. Nothing to fear here. Who cares about it? The ocean's big. There's an iceberg in the ocean. It's not going to do anything. I guess that would be the contrast. So then Sam's like, okay, forget it. System's not going to work for me. So he goes back and he steals the keys to the restricted library. And then he goes in at night and gets some books. This got cheering from the audience and from me. We love it. And also Sam looked great. They must be given regular haircuts there because his hair's combed and cut, his beard's trimmed. So he looks great. Then we see Podrick and Brienne. They're doing some training. And Brienne's really having some fun with Podrick. And Tormund's watching and he's having fun. And he comes over to chat with her. And she gets distracted. And then Podrick, it's just a great scene. He's hilarious. They're both of them. And so Podrick gets a drop on Brienne because she's distracted by Tormund. And then Brienne gets irritated with Podrick and throws him in a snowbank. And Tormund goes, "You're a lucky man." So, I mean, this is another brilliant thing is like they know when to time this humor. Holy macaroni. And then we get back to Baelish and Sansa, and this is Baelish's high school boyfriend, you know, overbearing high school boyfriend personality. Because he's saying, I just thought you wanted to be happy, Sansa. I guess you just want those other things, but, you know, because that's why I'm here annoying you. It's just because no one else really cares for you to be happy. They care about what you do. You know, he's trying to play it out and, really working her hard, and she totally shuts him down. At first, he's like, "What's with Brienne?" Yada yada yada, and I mean, I guess I'd have to let me jump ahead to see what she says to him, because what she says, "I got Brienne here." Let's see. So she says, "I got Brienne here. I'm surrounded by family. I really don't, you know, need." And he goes, "Well, don't you need to be happy? What can I do for you, basically? Why aren't you happy?" What do you want that you do not have? She goes, "Peace and quiet." And then Brienne rolls up and Baelish can't think anything. And Sansa crushes it. She says, "No need to seize the last word, Lord Baelish. I'll assume it was something clever." And he almost says something. And he sucks on his lips. And then he says, "M'lady" to Brienne and "M'lady" to Sansa. And Sansa's got a look. Brienne gives him a look out of the corner of her eye. She goes, "Why is he still here? He's the worst." And Sansa goes, "Well, he's got that army and with horses and stuff, and he helped out. And I think I have, again, just as like the danger, just like Cersei, well, I think I have him under my thumb. I think I know his angle, but we don't." And there's a shot of him walking away. Star Wars-esque shot, I would say, of him his back with cape. Then we hear a bird and we see this focus pole, like the focus is on a tree branch and some leaves or something. And then it pulls focus and we see Arya and there's singing going on and we get our first celebrity sighting, which got like a lot of giggles in the room. But, you know, he actually looks good. Ed Sheeran. And they're singing a song about hands of gold, always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. So they're singing, and they see Arya. They're like, "Hey, what up? Why don't you come down and chill with us? We're here to host." These are Lannister soldiers, by the way. And this one, like Sansa goes, or Arya goes, "I never heard this song." And Ed Sheeran goes, "Well, it's a new one," which I don't know. But whatever, it's a quibble. So they say, "Hey, how about," and there's a couple nice, this is really a revealing scene about battle and war. So Arya rolls up, she scouts out the situation, they say, "Hey, eat some game with us." And there's one guy who already has a crush on her instantly, this little guy, like the youngest soldier. And they say, "Man, it's cold. It's going to be cold tonight. Where are you going?" She goes, "King's Landing." They go, "Oh, King's Landing's the worst. That Queen's messed it up. Sept of Baelor's gone. There's it's trouble. We're glad to be gone, but we miss our families. We just wanted to see everything, but that's why we moved there. We heard about the legends." She's checking out the situation to get a drop on them. You know, they say, like, "The dragon pits are the pits now, man." And so she starts to get to know them. They give her some wine. They give her some game to eat. And then they start talking about their personal stories. About one guy, he's had a son or a daughter while he's been away. And they're like, we're peacekeepers. We're just here to peacekeep and deal with whatever was going on with Walder Frey. And you can see Arya's mind working as she's assessing the situation. They go, geez, we were taught to be kind to strangers, but we're stuck out here fighting someone else's wars. Which I think is a callback to can't remember. I think it's been said before in this series. And definitely there's the guy that talks the most about his dad on his boat. Definitely some sort of connection with Arya. I can't quite figure it out. Maybe it'll be that she's jockeying or something. But they say, well, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm taking out the queen. And there's a long pause, but then everybody laughs. They say, oh, yeah, you're taking out the queen. Hilarious. When I get really happy, because the next scene is it's daytime, but there's a thick snow, like a blizzard almost. We see bushes covered in snow. We see men on horseback. We see it's the Hound and the Brotherhood, Brotherhood without banners. And these are two of my favorite characters that we haven't spent a lot of time with, so I'm really excited. And they roll up on an old familiar stone house, and it's cold, so they're like, we got to go inside. So the Hound's like, we don't need to go in there. And they go, well, there's no smoke. No one's there. We got to get inside, see if they got any food, and get warm. And so they go inside. They're starting up a fire. And Beric and Sandor, they sit down to chat. Because first he's like, I don't want to be in here. I don't want nothing. I don't want anything to do with this. And, you know, they're giving him a hard time and stuff. But then he sits down with, let's see what other notes I have before we get to the dialogue. You know, we hear about kind of Sandor's, he doesn't quite grasp their religious convictions because they're fighting for the Lord of Lights. And I forget the other guy's name. I know Beric Dondarrion. I forget the other guy, but he gets it. Sandor goes, "What? You got a top knot, bro. So where do you live?" So he gives a little hipster barb to him, which is funny. And just any time, spending any time with the Mountain is great. Wait, is he the Mountain? No, he's the Hound. Any time with the Hound. But also Beric Dondarrion, and then the dude whose name I don't know, from the Brotherhood Without Banners, the priest, Thoros of Myr. There you go. I remembered it. Thoros of Myr, I love him because he reminds me, you know, if Jeff Daniels and Jeff Bridges had a son who became an actor, that's who that would be. He's got the best features of both of them. And it may be Jeff Daniels, but I don't think it is, because I think I would have already known that. I think he even says that the top knots to cover his baldness, maybe? I don't know. But they say, hey, come on inside, let's get comfortable. And then Beric says, let's talk, because you seem irritated. You know, first he says, they kind of get a hint that the Hound's been at that house before, and he didn't leave it in the best condition. Like, he slept there, didn't make the bed or nothing, and left things so messy that the family had to move away. But so then Beric sits down, he says, geez, you're really irritable about this religious stuff, and you're definitely irritable with me. What's up? The Hound says, well, why do you keep coming back? I don't get why this dude brings you back from the other side. Who would want you back? No offense, you're not bad. He does say that. He goes, you're not terrible, but you're not so hot either. And you got that eye patch. And, you know, how can you, who do you think you are and who do you think your God is that you keep coming back? And the dude says, well, I have no idea. I don't know. Believe me, I think about it every day. What am I doing here? Like, existential creeps right in. And he goes, why am I here? Why are we all here? I don't know. And then Thoros of Myr says, hey, let's take a look at this fire. And of course, then there's other jokes. Like, of course, I get stuck with a bunch of fire worshippers. Divine justice is what Beric Dondarrion says. And then he goes, no, divine justice would be that, I didn't leave this house a mess, so the family had to move away. And he goes, okay, fair enough. But They say, look into the fire. And this is another great, great scene for acting by Rory, like as Weiss and Benioff say in the behind the scenes at the end. But he says, you want to know more about the Lord of Light, come and look in the fire. And he goes, don't worry, come on over. And he makes his way over there slowly, puts his hand up on the hearth, and he looks into the fire. And they say, just look at the fire, really look at the fire and tell me what you see. And I liked how they chose not to show us what he's seeing. They show everything through his face and his reaction to what he's seeing. And at first he just sees fire. And then his mouth opens and he moves back a little bit and he goes, I see ice. And Beric looks over and he's kind of amazed or shocked. I mean, so I don't know if he didn't think it was going to work or he's shocked at what he's seeing or that he's seeing the same vision they are. And he's like, geez, it's people. He goes, it's the army of the north marching past Mountain, Hardhome, Port City. And Beric gets up, and then Sandor takes another step back, and you know, he says, "Oh, geez." And he goes, "See, don't you see what we're in for? This is that's what we're on a mission to stop." So again, I like how the pieces are being laid out, but I know Game of Thrones is still going to surprise us. Then we see Top Knot sleeping, whoever Thoros Amir is sleeping. We call him Top Knot, and he hears something. He rolls out of bed, goes outside. Sandor's, or the Hound is like doing laundry. He said, I'm finally going to wash these sheets that I sullied, that made this family move away. And the guest says, well, let me help you. This seems like very important to you. And he goes, yeah, it's like a living amends. And they say, okay, let's do it together. And then Sandor says, well, I got this prayer that my mom used to say above the laundry. He says, you know, forgive me for not doing my laundry and letting it sit too long till it got moldy. And then he goes, I don't remember the rest. But we see that he's evolving. Like you said, wow, he started and he's making amends. Like, so it's a big deal, you know, big deal for our big boy. And we're all proud of him. I mean, I know I am. I say, buddy, I love you. Now I love you more. Oh, okay. There was a couple of shots at the end, like of the mist in the mountains as they're doing the laundry that I forgot to mention. And as they're working. And then as, after he says the laundry prayer, he actually, the Hound wipes his hair out of his eyes and he goes, so, geez, sorry, I didn't do your laundry. So he also apologizes. So I forgot how powerful that was. Then we see Desmond Bedder. What does that mean? Desmond Bedder. Desmond Bedder. I don't know what that says. Honestly, I don't. D-E-S-M-I-D, Bedder. Oh, you deserved better. You deserve somebody that did your laundry when he apologizes. Then there's a shot of Old Town's lighthouse. Holy cow. You know, if you listen to these episodes, how much I love the ancient wonders of the world. And I really appreciate these kind of recreations. And this is like the great lighthouse, I think. I can't even remember. Pharos, maybe? I mean, this town has two of the ancient, has the great library too, but the lighthouse has a giant fire on the roof, which we haven't seen since, what was that, one of the Lord of the Rings movies, I think, something cool like that. So that's cool. Then we see a shot of all of Old Town. We hear city sounds like dogs barking. And then we see Sam's kind of pulling an all-nighter studying, really studying hard. Gilly and little Sam are playing, and Sam's tired. And she's like, Sam, you should catch some rest. And he's like, no, they don't catch any rest. I got to keep working. And Gilly grabs a book and kind of sits down next to Sam. She reads a little bit. We see her reading is greatly improved, and Sam's looking through his book trying to figure out the Dragonglass situation, which Jon Snow had been talking about. So I didn't mention that at the big meeting. That's the one thing he said. We got to find a Dragonglass and a way to mine it. And then Sam's looking through his book. He finds a Dragonglass mine. And, of course, where is it? It's in Dragonstone. He says, oh, yeah, I forgot. Stannis had mentioned that And we say, okay, are these pieces coming together or are they not? This is going to be interesting. He says, that's all the dragon glass John would need. I got to get a message to John. And he jumps up like he's going to send a scroll via Raven. And I think he does do a note. But then the next day he's doing the rounds at the quarantine place in Old Town. And he's feeding all the quarantine people. And we hear the voice of Ser Jorah as his hand comes through a window. But he's in quarantine and Sam's got gloves on. And he says, has she come yet? Sam's like, what? And he goes, the Dragon Queen, Daenerys Stormborn. And Sam's like, maybe we should change your medication. Let me write this down. And Jorah's not in great shape. He's definitely, he's got that stone thing going. And then the drums start. And we see a close-up of the Khaleesi, and she's breathing through her nose, deep through her nose. And there's nothing better than watching the Khaleesi breathe through her nose, because it really adds the gravity to the moment, and it's powerful. And then we see her crew, and everybody's in black leather or near black leather, and we see the dragons, her dragons, are at Dragonstone, flying around it. They look like they're fully grown now, very worm-like, W-Y-R-M. And Khaleesi's still breathing, her mouth's open. Everyone's got the gravity of the situation down. Varys, Tyrion, Missandei to me, and Grey Worm. And then they pull up to the shore, and we see like the cool stone of the shore. I don't know if it's slate or what. And the Khaleesi walks up the beach. She's resplendent in her dress. I guess it's not black leather. And they let her walk ahead. We watch her walk across the beach, a stride, a purposeful stride. And she's really taken in. She goes to her knees and she puts her palm in the sand and kind of lets it sit there and feels the sand, presses her palm in, pulls it out, feels the sand in her fingers. And she looks up at Dragonstone, takes it in, and then she heads forward. And she's really striding. Her hands are at her side. And, she has definitely a purposeful look to it. And then they slowly work their way up to the doors, the first set of doors. The Game of Thrones music's playing as she heads up the stairs. And there's these dragon head carvings at the first set of doors. And some of the Unsullied open the doors, and we see the path up to Dragonstone, up the mountain, I guess. And we see Khaleesi's face, and she takes some more breaths. We see Tyrion's face, the gravity of the situation, a lot of breathing, a lot of silent breathing, and then like seeing what they're looking at. And really amazing, like watching their eyes soaking it in. And they march up to the fortress. They go through kind of like a rock portal that I don't know if we ever saw this rock portal. And then we see, because Stannis was here, and then we see Stannis' Flaming Heart banner. I guess that was his second banner. And the Khaleesi tears that down. Then we go into the old throne room, which is cool. And we see where the Iron Throne was pulled out, like a blank spot for the Iron Throne. At first, I didn't know what it was. And they said, oh, wait, that's a blank spot for the Iron Throne. And Khaleesi walks up. Missandei stops Grey Worm from following her as she goes up towards the throne. She walks alone. The Khaleesi, just like she's almost all in black, and just like Johnny Cash walked alone, she walks alone. And Tyrion looks around the room, and then around 59:30, we get a close-up of her dress, and holy cow, I mean, the embroidery and the detail of her dress has got these red, dark red, deep red, in black, kind of dragon embroidery. It's just amazing. It's just the costumes in this episode were just mind-blowing. But hers is like, just is so detailed, like it should be, but also seemed fairly functional. So, like, because it's almost like a cape she's wearing. And that was just mind blowing. Then she goes into Stannis's like map battle planning room with a giant map table. So we get a callback to Cersei's map or Cersei's map. There's a dragon carving on the wall. Tyrion checks that out. And there's just this cool shot. She runs her fingers across the whole table, across the dust, across like Stannis's planning tools, past them, around the corner of the table. And it's really slow, and we kind of see, like, where, you know, we remember some of the memories of Stannis standing in this room, looking out to the water, and she stands at the end. This was such a, like, amazing cap to an episode. She stands at the end of the table as kind of Tyrion's taking things in, and she looks over everybody. And then she just simply says, like the sea and the sky is behind her. And she says, shall we begin? Like with power, and but just business too. Like that gave me goosebumps. It did give me goosebumps. And the episode came to a close. I can't wait till next week. I can't wait. And then we'll get to the facts right now. A couple of things came up this episode. So the first thing that came up was the Hardhome in the Wall, because I guess with that episode, I've been working on the assumption that Hardhome was south below the wall. And I said, geez, well, the wall's already been breached. Like, isn't Hardhome like where the wall meets the sea? And I don't know why that was a false assumption that I've been operating on, which has given me like an extra intensity of like, well, we're already in big trouble. The wall doesn't even matter, or they don't understand how the wall works. Because they were still talking about defending the wall. So I had to look that up, and it ends up Hardhome is a free folk. This is from the Game of Thrones wiki. It's a free folk fishing village. It's north of the wall. Yeah, on the Shivering Sea near Storold's Point or something. And when we look at a map, it was really relieving to me because it's pretty far north. Like, you have the Shivering Sea, which is a giant bay, northern bay. And Hardhome's out on this point, Storold's Point, like they said, way out there. And then there's a giant forest between Hardhome and... I don't even know how the walking people got there, because they said, well, geez, really took an indirect route to mess with everybody. But then it's a long way down to the Bay of Seals where Eastwatch by the Sea is. So we're in a better shape than we thought. And we've reviewed the wall before. So Eastwatch is the eastmost castle. Then we have Castle Black in the middle, and then the Shadow Tower all the way towards the Bay of the Ice, I guess, in what we would say is the west. And when we look up, I think there used to be 17 castles on the wall when it was fully staffed. Let me see what I got here. And over on the Game of Thrones wiki, it looks like, at least in the books, there was 18 total castles or garrisons and stuff on the walls. I don't know if all of them, let's see. I mean, we've talked about the wall before. You know, colossal fortification over 300 miles on the northern border. 700 feet tall, made of solid ice, but constructed using magic. We're a little short on magic users, if we haven't thing. It uses a variety of defenses. You know, you can be on the top, and there's like warming stations and stuff to like let you shoot arrows or barrels with ice and oil and stone, catapults, and other things like those giant arrow launchers, I think, pendulum to cut and rain ice. And if anybody's trying to climb the wall, which happened. It looks like, we got to get people on the wall. We could use some magic, and then Bran's on the way. But I guess my biggest concern with the wall was that, what if they're already past the wall? Was that like the water part? I don't know. I guess I was just mixed up. I was really feeling less optimistic. Surprise, surprise. So that's a little bit of just a quick thing that was on my mind that I looked up. And another thing that came up was the lighting system they had in the library at Old Town, the Great Library, and how they used magnifying glasses and mirrors to light the room. And while I didn't have time to totally research that, I found this article. Like, I was like, oh, what are the modern equivalents? Because I know if you're on an airplane, or maybe it's like other magazines, they show those like, what are those called? Like sun, what are those things called? Like moonroof, a sunroof. I can't remember what they're called. Maybe this article will tell me. But like that uses like a tube to get sunlight into your house to light it. Sun domes. I don't know what those things are called. And I think I've been in one or two houses that had those. And I said, well, that works pretty good. But this article is from Fast Company from 9/27/12. It's written by Anita Hamilton. Just a quick one about a mirror system that brings sunlight into the darkest corners of your home. These sunflower heliostats let you focus the sun's light anywhere from solar panels in your garden. And this sounds cool. I haven't heard about it since 2012, but it's just, you know, we've waited for the clean, green solar power revolution. And this was 5 years ago. So it's talking about the cost of solar panels. But another way to harness the sun's energy is to use regular glass mirrors, which are 95% efficient. Wow. At reflecting heat and light. Did not know that. And once they were deployed solely in large-scale solar fields, these heliostats, as they're called, are now compact enough to brighten up. So this, I think it's possible, it was what we're already learning, to brighten up gloomy rooms or shade-filled spots in your garden. Because they were also using magnifying glasses. The Sunflower Home Heliostat from Wakota gives you the freedom to redirect the sun where you want it. It finds where the sun is and tracks it. It's an 18-pound device, $399, six triangular glass mirrors like petals on a flower, around four microprocessor transistors that track the movement of the sun. And when the sun hits a mirror, light and heat are reflected and sent to whatever spot you've designated, up to 25 feet away. And solar power motors adjust the mirrors to reflect the maximum amount of sunlight throughout the day. Surprisingly powerful, up to 500 watts of power in the form of light and heat. We wanted to create something, according to Wakota, that leverages the sun's energy. Mirrors are the most efficient way of doing that, adds a former engineer from Sonos, a home audio company, who used his sunflower to light his tomato patch in the summer to get a bumper crop. The one drawback, it also reflects ultraviolet rays. So that's interesting. And I guess it kind of does prove that was in a short, compact way that at least conceivably what they're doing at the with all their astro labs and stuff is possible. So another cool little mini fact. And then the last thing I wanted to look up was, like, what are the best feathers for writing? Because there's a lot of quills. Sam's doing writing, and the Grand Maester's doing writing. And I said, what are the best quills for writing stuff? But there's a couple other things that came up. There's an Instructables article about how to make a feather writing quill and how to do that. So I'll include that, because what you need is a soup can, some sand, a sharp knife, some feathers, and some calligraphy ink. And it kind of shows you how to prepare the feather to create the quill, how to temper it so it has a nice, sharp, hardened tip. You can leave it in a drawer for 3 years, but that takes too long. The other way is to empty a soup can, fill it with sand, and heat it in the oven. Then remove the can and thrust the quill into there and wait, and that'll temper your quill. Then you'll cut the tip after that. And then you'll get to writing. So that's a cool one. Then over at the History of Pencils, they have a history of quill pens, which kind of just talks about how using the point of the feather and the hollow shaft could hold the ink, and how the capillary action would be good for writing, which I didn't realize. You know, before, people used to use write on wax or clay with reed pens or papyrus, or reed pens on papyrus and animal skins. But they do say you can't just take a feather and dip it in the ink and use it. You have to prepare it, as we've learned about. but they all use large feathers. So here's our answer. Only the five or six largest, from goose, swan, or turkey, although feathers of crow, eagle, owl, or hawk can also be used. So there is you want a big bird. I guess would big bird's feathers be too big? What about a peacock feather? Is that because you see fancy, like over the top, like bureaucrats or kings and queens using super big feathers? Let's see what else. Over on Wikipedia, it talks about a quill pen being used from a molted flight feather, preferably a primary wing feather for a large bird. So that kind of gets down to, like, what are the best ones to use? Just another good use for turkeys. Like, maybe that, like, those of you that are listening, you could think about that for next Thanksgiving, is giving everybody a quill. You know, that could be that would be an idea, for a centerpiece. Give everyone a quill. Maybe go, if you're getting some heritage turkey anyway, be like, give me some turkey feathers, primary. But they're not primary flight feathers because turkeys don't fly that I know of. But anyway, something to think about, something fun to do, and those will be included in the show notes. And for now, that's it. Just picture turkey feathers gracefully floating on the breeze, or another bird that flies, like a goose. Do geese fly? I know when doves fly, they fly across my heart into my dreams. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being here for Season 7, Episode 1. Good night.
All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over. But it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more, or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville. Oh, Contact. TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, an all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode. I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky PI. Huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end. But they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. If you're, this is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening to this, a free feed, it'd be great. If you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.